नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य सॉरी नारायणं नमस्कृत्यम् इट्स अ मिस्टेक। रीडिंग फ्रॉम द श्रीमद् भागवतम 10th कैंटो चैप्टर 62 टेक्स्ट नंबर 20 चित्रलेखातमज्ञाय पौत्रं कृष्णस्य योगिनी ययौ विहाय साराजन् द्वारकां कृष्णपालिताम् चित्रलेखातमज्ञाय पौत्रं कृष्णस्य योगिनी ययौ विहाय साराजन् द्वारकां कृष्णपालिताम् चित्रलेखातमज्ञाय पौत्रं कृष्णस्य योगिनी ययौ विहाय साराजन् द्वारकां कृष्णपालिताम् माताजीस चित्रलेखा तम हिम अज्ञाय रेकग्नाइजिंग पौत्रम एज अ ग्रैंड सन कृष्णस्य ऑफ लॉर्ड कृष्ण योगिनी फीमेल मिस्टिक ययौ शी वेंट विहायसा बाय द मिस्टिक स्काईवेज राजन ओ किंग द्वारकाम टू द्वारका कृष्णपालिताम प्रोटेक्टेड बाय कृष्ण। ट्रांसलेशन चित्रलेखा एंडोर्ड विथ मिस्टिक पावर्स रेकग्नाइज्ड हिम एज कृष्णस ग्रैंडसन अनिरुद्ध। माय डियर किंग शी देन ट्रेवल्ड बाय द मिस्टिक स्काईवे टू द्वारका द सिटी अंडर लॉर्ड कृष्णस प्रोटेक्शन। text number 21. Tatra suptam supariyanke pradyum nimyogam astita grihitva shonitapuram sakhyai priyam adarshayat. There she found Pradyumna's son Aniruddha sleeping upon a fine bed. With her yogic power, she took him away to Shonitpur, where she presented her girlfriend Usha with her beloved. Purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments as follows on this verse. It is stated here that Chitralekha resorted to mystic power, yogam astitha, as explained in the Harivamsh and other literatures. She needed to employ her powers because when she arrived at Dwarka, she found herself unable to enter Lord Krishna's city. At that time, Sri Narad Muni instructed her in the mystic art of entering. Some authorities also say that Chitralekha is herself an expansion of Yogamaya. Om Ajnanatimrandhasya Jnananjanashalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manohishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakada Mahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Utapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagarajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Bhescha Kripa Sindhu Bevacha Padidanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vashadi Guru Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna So, beg the blessings of all the assembled devotees. So, we are reading from the 10th canto, the meeting of Usha and Aniruddha. So, it's a very esoteric pastime. And Srimad Bhagavatam, because it is the Amala Purana, because it is the incarnation of Godhead, personally, Srimad Bhagavatam is Shri Krishna. Tamyeva Devam Karuna Nidhanam Tamalavaranam Suhitavataram Apara Samsara Samudra Setum Bhajamahi Bhagavata Swarup. Tamyeva Devam Karuna Nidhanam. The Supreme Lord Shri Krishna is the abode of all mercy, the ocean of mercy. Tamala Varanam Suhitavataram, his complexion of being like the monsoon rain cloud or for that matter the color of a tamal tree. Tamalavaranam, Suhitavataram. And his incarnation is for the welfare of all the living entities. Apara samsara samudra setum. And this insurmountable ocean of birth and death. The Lord is like a bridge. Bhajamahe Bhagavata Swarupam. And that same Lord has incarnated as Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is the process. By taking shelter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, by giving humble oral reception to the most exalted quintessence of all teachings of this world and beyond is the Srimad Bhagavat. And not only that, the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam is especially very glorious. It contains the essence of even the Srimad Bhagavatam. So therefore it is said in the Smritis that even more glorious than performing any kind of yajnas, giving hundreds and hundreds of cows, gold and charity, very elaborate, very expensive yajnas, doing daan, doing all kinds of extremely difficult austerities in the heat and in the cold and with all those different kind of yogasanas and pranayams, and nothing compares, to said in the Garga Samhita, nothing compares to even 1/16th the merit, spiritual merit that one can get by simply, humbly giving oral reception to the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. That's how glorious it is to somehow or another be able to get to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, get to read Srimad Bhagavatam. Hearing and reading is the same thing actually. Srila Prabhupada has given us the books. In case we don't get a facility to hear, we can still read and listen to Srila Prabhupada speak. He speaks through his books. Very powerful. And somehow or another, we have got this opportunity, even though not qualified. Still, by somehow or another, at least while we sit here, we are thinking of Krishna, isn't it? Otherwise, we would have been doing something else. So, somehow for our own purification, we do the service of speaking, we do this service of hearing. So certainly because it is the greatest, it is the most esoteric, there cannot be any tinge of materialism, any mundane stuff in Srimad Bhagavatam. So therefore, what seems here to be a love affair between a boy and a girl, as this episode depicts Usha and Aniruddha, it's not mundane. And here the episode is that Usha, she sees Aniruddha in a dream and falls in love with him. And she describes it to her friend Chitralekha. And Chitralekha, she is a mystic yogini. And she draws figures of very important personalities in the world at that time. And Usha, she points out, no, it is this person. When she draws Aniruddha, in Aniruddha, that time she says that this is the person whom I am in love with. And this was spoken to her by Parvati. Parvati told her that, you know, so and so person will come in your dream and he will be your husband. So Chitralekha makes these arrangements. She travels through the mystic airways. There is one path that the airplanes take, the airways. There are certain routes that the airplanes take, you see. But there are other routes through which the yogis travel. So it is explained here that Chitralekha, she traveled through that mystic route and went to Dwarka. And there she found Aniruddh sleeping. And by her powers, she picked him up and transported him while he was still sleeping to Shonakpur, where Usha was. So quite an amazing phenomena, is it not? How a person can do that? Now in our modern world, you know, we hear of so many mystics doing so many things, creating ash, creating gold, and levitating. I've seen so many such videos, clips, and how all these showcases of mystic performances have been debunked. There are people, they say, you know, see, this is a bogus, he's levitating, but he's not levitating, and then they show he's sitting on some contraption, metal contraption, which makes it seem like he's floating, but he's not. It's going through his clothes, and you know, it goes under, gives him a seat, and he's sitting as if he's like floating. And there are examples of people who are producing ash and producing gold, and then they debunk that, saying that it is just some magic trick. They take some, you know, some capsule, they produce it from their sleeves, and then they break it, and they are giving ash or something like those magic tricks which they claim, which Andhvishwas Nirmulan Samiti, something where people go around debunking these bogus people or exposing these bogus people who, in the name of showing some mystic powers, are simply showing some magic tricks or some illusion, basically what magicians do. But despite all these claims, we should understand from the Srimad Bhagavatam that actual mystic powers do exist. They do exist, only that we have not seen genuine mystic yogis. But they do exist. Because if they have been mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam, we should accept it, you know. It's authority. And Srila Prabhupada gives examples. I was hearing in one class that Srila Prabhupada says about one yogi during the British times. He was a Naga Baba kind of yogi, and he used to move around naked in the streets of Calcutta. So during the British rule, the government, they found it quite obnoxious, quite unacceptable, and they arrested him, they put him in prison. But this yogi was so powerful that he became very small, and he entered, passed through the bars of the jail, and he got out. And he was again moving around in the streets of Calcutta. And the police again, they saw, again they arrested, again they put him in the jail, and again he would pass through the bars of the jail and come out, and again he would walk around the streets. Again, that happened three times. They put him in the jail three times, and again he would, again and again. Finally, they gave up. So all these are mystic powers. They exist. Prabhupada used to say that yogi sitting in one room can produce some pomegranates from Kabul, Afghanistan. He can just extend his arm and bring some pomegranate, some fruit from some other place. Even though he's physically situated in one place, he can actually acquire things. They're called as prapti. Anima, laghima, prapti, prakamya, mahima, ishitva, vashitva, kama, vasayita. And these are the eight mystic powers that exist. So they are real. And here we can see that amazing powers of this lady, apparently, not even a man, a woman, Chitralekha. She had these powers of entering into Dwarka. Now, as we can see here, it is said that she arrived at Dwarka, the city under Lord Krishna's protection. Now the amazing thing is that how can this mystic yogini enter into Dwarka, which is protected by Lord Krishna? How can she breach the security of Lord Krishna? That's the question. So, what is Dwarka? What is Vrindavan? So we have to understand, it's a holy land, it's a spiritual world. When we speak about Dwarka, when we speak about Vrindavan, it's not a physical place. It's not a physical place. It's the consciousness. It's the consciousness. Because, like for example, if you say somebody goes to college, wo college gaya. Now when you say he goes to college, what do you think? You think that he's gone to get an education. He's gone to get a degree. He's gone to get knowledge. Now, there are sweepers, there are caterers, there are lab assistants who are also working there. They are also going to college. But they are going to college and a student going to college is different. It's different. So when you say we are going to college, what is it? What is college? College means education. College means knowledge. So every place is actually a consciousness. It's a system. You see? And therefore, it's not just simply a physical place. Because the rats are there, the cockroaches are there, they're also in college. It's not that they've spent 20 years in the campus means they're going to get a degree. When you come to the temple, if you consider a temple a physical place, well then, you come to the temple and you say, okay, mandir aaye, theek hai. You came to the temple, took darshan, and you went. But then you were not attentive to what happened, and you came and you asked, so Prabhuji, whom you met? I met Shadbhuj Prabhu. Avatar Leela, I met Keshav Chandra Prabhu. Acha, okay. What else? Whom else? Who else? If we are not conscious, we may forget that there is, you know, Mr. Krishna and Mrs. Radha, Lalita, Vishakha, and they are also there, standing there, for whom actually we have come to meet. So, we have come to the temple, but we are not in the temple. Probably a temple is another social place. We come to socialize. We have gone for yatra, for socializing. So, are we really in the temple? That is the question. So, what do you mean by coming to the temple? Meaning is that we have come for grace. We have come for darshan. We have come to connect. We have come for yoga. We have come to remember Krishna. We have come to serve. So that is the meaning of coming to the temple. Every place has got a consciousness associated with it. If a doctor comes out of the operating theater and you ask the doctor, "Oh, doctor ji, kaisa ho gaya?" And he says, "Medhu vada bahut achha tha." If a doctor comes out of the operating theater and he says, "Medhu vada bada achha tha, bada first class maza aa gaya, kya sambar idli tha, are kya dosa tha," you'll wonder, he's come from the operating theater. What is he talking about? I mean, a doctor doesn't go to the operating theater to eat, to take his lunch, is it not? Sometimes you may find somebody going to the hospital. "Are, kahan gaya tha?" "Hospital gaya tha." "Hospital gaya tha? Kya ho gaya?" "Nahi nahi, kuch nahi yaar, masala dosa khane gaya tha." "Bole, masala dosa khane gaya tha? Why masala dosa?" "Are, wo us hospital mein na canteen mein masala dosa jabardast milta hai, wo usi le gaya tha." "Wo bole, acha acha, like that." I mean, you went to the hospital to have masala dosa. Well, you can go to the hospital to have masala dosa, but that's not the real meaning, intended meaning. You've not gone to the hospital, you've gone to a canteen basically. It would be better to say that I went to the canteen than say that I went to the hospital. Otherwise people may get a wrong understanding. So every place is associated with consciousness. And if you are not in the consciousness, you may be sitting in the temple and you may be thinking about thinking about home probably. So you are at home. Be at home when you are thinking about the temple, you are in the temple. Prabhupada used to say the example of a pujari. He was the temple was in front of a brothel. And there used to be some prostitutes there. And one of the prostitutes was a very saintly lady. Even though she was trapped in that situation due to circumstances, she had a very strong desire for devotional service. So she was, every day she would look at the pujaris offering aarti, and she would just, in the heart of heart, she would just constantly pray, "Oh Lord, please save me from this predicament. How miserable I am, how fallen, how sinful I am that I have to, even though unwillingly, but engage in this very fallen profession, oh Lord, please save me." And that pujari, oh, so proud, offering the aartis, and he's looking at that brothel and he's thinking, "Oh, look at that. All those people going to that prostitute and engaging in all those sinful activities. How fallen, how disgraceful, how sinful." And he's doing aarti of the Lord. And he's thinking about how sinful the people are there. And eventually Yamaraj comes, Yamadutas come. And they knock on his door. Tuck, tuck, and he says, "Hey, wait. Sorry, wrong address. The brothel is there. Go to that prostitute there." He says, No. "They are at the right address. Your body is in the altar, your mind is there. She is there physically, but her heart is here. So what is the temple? For her, the brothel is a temple. And what is the temple? And for the pujari, the altar is a brothel. He is physically there, but his mind is there. So therefore, a place is associated with consciousness. And therefore, what is Dwarka? What is Vrindavan? It is a state of consciousness. It's also the place. That's why it is said in the Shastra. Ayodhya, Mathura, Maya, Kashi, Kanchir, Avantika, Puri, Dwaravatau Chaiva, Saptaita Mokshadaika. These are seven places, where simply by setting your foot on it, you are awarded moksha. Ayodhya, not just Dwarka, Ayodhya, Mathura, Maya, Haridwar, Kashi, Kanchipuram, Avantika, Ujjain, Puri, Dwarka. So these are seven places, and there are many others also. Recently I was in Melkote, that is also a holy place. You set your foot, you get moksha. But simply by setting foot you get moksha. No, not like that. So, what is the system? So I had previously told this example of that Ganapati Bhakta. You know, very interesting. You see, I mean, he was a South Indian devotee, but he was not having the correct understanding of philosophy. He had some confusions. And somebody told him that Parabrahma Paramatma Bhagavan is personally present. Who? There is Bhulok Vaikuntha. There is Vaikuntha in this material world. The moment you go there, you get liberation. So he had this hodgepodge, mixed up philosophy. He thought that, oh great, wonderful. So I will immediately go there. I'm not interested in material life. I'll go there and get liberated. And I won't come back. And he goes on his yatra. And he reaches the border of Puri, Jagannath Puri. And while he is there, he thinks, oh, I will peacefully go and take darshan. So that was his misunderstanding he had about how people get moksha by setting foot in the holy place. Another misunderstanding he had was that he thought that the Parabrahma Paramatma is in the form of an elephant. He thought he is like Ganesh Swarupa. So he was thinking like that, two misunderstandings. So he was waiting at the outskirts of Jagannath Puri. And before he entered, he was shocked to see that people were entering Jagannath Puri and people were leaving Jagannath Puri. So he was astonished. He was thinking in his mind that if people get liberation simply by setting foot in Jagannath Puri, then why are they coming out? They should have been liberated. The body should be just should just drop and the soul should be just liberated. Why are they coming out? Back again to their material life. So he was very despondent. He was very upset and he was thinking, what is this? Something wrong here. I was being misinformed. He became very depressed and he just sat there thinking there's no point in proceeding further. So then the story goes that Lord Jagannath personally, he appears in the form of a Brahmin in order to clear up the misunderstanding of this Bhatta. His name was Bhatta, Ganapati Bhatta. And he comes and explains, look my dear friend, he says, that who gets liberation? What you have heard that the spiritual world awards liberation, awards moksha, awards punya, it is true actually. But it is only awarded to those who actually wants it. It's not enforced upon anybody. You want it, you'll get it. But all these people whom you are seeing apparently coming to see, to take darshan of Parabrahma, Paramatma, but actually they don't want moksha. They want material life. They want happiness. They want, okay, happy married life, happy children, family, and it's money. All these things is what they want. That's what people come for. It's not that everybody is coming here for pure devotional service. It is, forget about pure devotional service. People don't even come for mukti. They don't even want liberation. That is an unfortunate situation. And so therefore, the Lord mercifully gives them what they want. Had they desired mukti, they would have got it. And there are people who are getting it also. Whom you are seeing going out are materialistic people. So, okay, is that so? He says, yes, that's how people come for different purposes. Krishna says that in the Gita. Chaturvidha bhajante ma. Some people come for ease. So distressed that they come for ease. Some people come because of disease. Think that if come and sit in the Bhagavatam class or maybe they do some puja part, they'll become free from some disease. That's why you see in Tirupati, they give hands and legs and all, you see, to the Lord. They ask the Lord for health. Some people come for ease, some people come with disease. And some people come to seize power, position, money. That is also different kind of things. One day I was, standing in front of Prabhupada Samadhi in Vrindavan. Just looking around and I saw a couple. Their husband and wife, they were standing close to each other. They were reading the notice board outside the guest reception. Welcome center. Yeah. So I was just looking and I saw a little strange couple, you see. I mean, there was no match actually. The husband was very short and a pot belly and kind of dark, and the girl was like a tall and very fair. She was not even Indian, she was Western. She was, I think, a Bengali or something like that. Tall, fair, and very. So I blinked. I said, what? Are they husband and wife? It doesn't look like. And then, husband and wife. I said, wow. Because, material intelligence is kicked in. Because generally, if I, kuch to jodi hona chahiye, kuch to match hona chahiye. No match, absolutely. So what? How is that possible? Yeah? Then I saw that man in his hand, a devotee, he was chanting Hare Krishna. And I was thinking, wow. Oh. And basically, if you chant Hare Krishna, any kind of desires will be fulfilled. Anything, any kind of desire will be fulfilled. You cannot even think about it. I could not, I believe my eyes actually, that how is it possible? you know, I had to really brace myself. That, wow, what am I seeing? Because generally you don't see that, but in ISKCON you find so many such things happening, really strange kind of combinations, permutations. Some people come to seize, some people come for ease, some people come because of disease, some people come to seize. And some people come for paying their fees, duty. God has done so much. Oh, my parents have told me, come, sit. Family ritual, I'm born in a family where everybody is doing it. So I have to also come, sit, class, okay, here. But no interest, ritualistic. Okay, I've paid my dues, all right, a lot, let me go back to my materialistic ways. But there are some people who come to seize. Not that S-E-I-Z-E, but C-E-A-S-E. Seize. They come for seizing their material existence. They come for liberation. But very few people, they come to please. They come to please the Lord. Some people come for ease, some disease, some seize, some fees. Some seize and some please. Now those people are very rare. So the Lord told that, don't worry, all different kinds of people are coming here and they are getting what they want. So the first misunderstanding was cleared. Ganpati Bhatt was very happy and he went for darshan. And the Lord very mercifully, he did not clear his second misunderstanding, which eventually happened later. But when he went for darshan, the Lord manifested a form of Ganapati, of Lord Ganesh, kind of like an elephant. And he got that darshan of Jagannath. And even today, in Jagannath Puri, the Lord is given a Hathi Vesh, like Ganapati. And that Brahmin's name is Ganapati Bhatta. So that kind of thing, a very nice message. So basically, the idea is that the holy dham is a spiritual world. But who can enter inside? Chitralekha is trying to enter, but has she entered into by the dint of her yogic powers? No. It is not possible for any ordinary person or even a great mystic to enter into the holy dham because of mystic powers. It is only possible to enter the holy dham through devotional service. Bhaktitpananyaya shakya aham eva vidurjuna nyatum drashtum cha tatvena praveshtum cha parantapa. You can only pravesh, your pravesh into the holy dham is only through ananya bhakti, not through anything else. You cannot enter into holy dham by affording a ticket. You can't afford a ticket to go to the holy dham. You have to be awarded the ticket. It's not the matter of affording, it's a matter of awarding. You have to be awarded, only then. That's why so many people go to Vrindavan, and what they see, me included, is the pigs, the gutters, the open sewers, see the corrupt, exploitative priests, and the thug-like, you know, tangawalas, and the horrible experiences is what they take when they go to Vrindavan. And so what, have they seen Vrindavan? Have they seen Dwarka? No, obviously not. What is the Vrindavan? What is this Dwarka? Chintamani prakara sadmashu kalpavriksha. It's like the jewels in the form of sand and stones. Or sand and stones in the form of jewels, you see. So that's what is supposed to be. But what we go and see is nothing but all these things. So what we are seeing is not the holy dham. What we are seeing is actually is something else. It's something material. It's covered just as a deity. You see, when we see the deity, we may see it as mud, we may see it as a stone, we may see it as a painting. But actually, the Lord is beyond that. Similarly, when we go to the dham, just as you can't recognize a deity, sometimes, you can also not recognize the dham, because that's also covered over. What you see is all these things. A dham is beyond that. So therefore, a very important principle is that, how did she enter inside Dwarka? Not by her mystic powers, but she entered because of the grace of Narada. Narada. So, Narada gave her the entry. Who's Narada? The Guru. Narada is the Guru. Only when the Guru blesses the disciple, can the disciple gain access to the spiritual world. I was recently in Melkote and I was speaking this nice pastime, which I like very much. Devotees have heard it so many times. So wonderful, so sweet. That in Kanchipuram, the beautiful deity of Vardharaj was being worshipped by Kanchipurana, great devotee. He used to render simple service of chamara to the Lord. And because he was so dear to the Lord would personally converse with him. And all the devotees would come and make requests to him that please ask, when will I get the opportunity to go back to the kingdom of God? So Kanchipuran would go and render service and he would make requests to the Lord and requests, and the Lord would fulfill and he would say that yes, yes, this devotee will come after 2 lives, this devotee will come after 10 lives, this devotee will come in this life, and he would pass on the message. Kanchipuran, a great devotee. Those were the times when deities would speak with the devotees. So one day Kanchipurana thought in his mind that I am taking these requests of these devotees. Why not I myself go and ask the Lord, when will I ascend to the spiritual world? When will I come back to Vaikuntha? I am also interested. So he goes to Vardharaj and he says, oh my dear Lord, please tell me, when will I come back? Do I stand a chance in this lifetime? So Vardharaj said, it will take you at least few lifetimes. Kanchipurana was shocked. He was thinking that I am so close to the Lord. The Lord is personally speaking with me. Then how can it be that I am taking few lives? And he said, I can't believe this. How is that possible? I am personally serving you, my Lord. The Lord said, that is the problem. No. That is the problem. You are personally serving me. That is not how you come back to the spiritual world. You go and serve my devotee. And then you will become qualified. Because to come to my abode, you need Guru. Directly, no. It's not possible. Therefore, they said in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Yomad bhakta janaha partha name bhaktaschate janaha. Yo mad bhakta janah partha name bhaktaschate janah mad bhakta naam cha yo bhakta te mad bhaktattamo matah. That one who says, I am the Lord's devotee, he is not my devotee. But one who is a devotee of my devotee, basically who is serving the Guru sincerely. As it is said, that Mahaprabhu says, Gopi bhartuhu padakamalayor das 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 anudas. That directly you cannot become, only when you are on the consciousness of serving, not just directly even Guru, but the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of the Guru. That is the consciousness by which you can progress. So Vardharaj said, no chance. Immediately Kanchipurana gave up the chamar and left. He went and he started serving devotees. And he came back, again took the chamara and he told Vardharaj, so, my dear Lord, when will I come back? And the Lord said, this lifetime, don't worry. Now you have pleased me, now you have served my devotee, that is the method. So this lifetime you will come back, no problem. So that is the idea, very simple truth. That because to say that I am the Lord's devotee, that is also false ego. You know, like how people say, I know the Prime Minister of India. And one photograph with the Prime Minister, it's everywhere on Facebook, on WhatsApp, and it's on all over the world. Three worlds. You see. So therefore, it's a pride. To know someone great is also a false ego. But to think that I am the servant of somebody great, servant of the servant, that is real humility. And therefore, Krishna does not fulfill the desires of service to the Lord till one is completely free from false ego. And therefore here Chitralekha's entry into Dwarka was not because of her mystic powers, it is because of the grace of Narada. And another reason given by Acharya here is that Chitralekha is none other than Yogamaya. And who is Aniruddha? Aniruddha is Vishnu. Aniruddha is Lord of Shvetadvipa. So he is like Paramatma. It's Vishnu actually. And who is Usha? She is Lakshmi. So there is nothing mundane about this. You have to be very careful. It may seem like a mundane affair. It's nothing. It's completely spiritual. And therefore Srimad Bhagavatam warns us that 10th canto is so pure, just as the Ras Leela begins with the warning. Shri Badarayana Ruvacha Bhagavan Apitaratri Sharadat Full Mallika Viksharantum Manaschakre Yogamaya Upashrita. Bhagavan Apitaratri. He is Bhagavan who is doing this Leela. Don't think otherwise. He is Bhagavan. He is a possessor of the six opulences. You have read about him in the previous cantos. So now you know that Parabrahma, Paramsatya is now doing this Leelas with his devotees. So therefore, don't make that mistake. Bhagavan Apitaratri. And who is he? Some commentators say Apita. Apita. No Pita. One who has no Pita. You know. He has no father. Who in this world can say that I don't have a father? Only the Lord can say, I don't have a father. Because He is the father of everyone. Pitahamasya jagato mata athata pitamaha. So therefore the warning, don't take this Leela, this Ras Leela to be ordinary. Bhagavan apitaratri sharadot full mallika viksharantum manaschakre yogamaya upashritaha. This is the Lord's own internal potency, His own desire, which is manifesting in this form of the situation of Ras. So similarly, this is same principle, that we should not consider this to be material or mundane. It's completely spiritual. It is the eternal bond between the devotee and the Lord. Who is Usha? She represents, in one sense, the living entity. And who is Aniruddha? He represents the Lord. And therefore, it is the dormant. Love can never, the relationship of love can never be broken. It can become dormant, as we had previously discussed. What is love? It was defined, as we say, love is eternal. Sarvatha dhvamsa rahitam satyapi dhvamsa karane tad bhava bandhanam yunuhu sa prema parikirtitaha. So love is defined by the Acharya, sarvatha dhvamsa rahitam, that when there is every opportunity for a loving relationship to break, but still, if the relationship does not break, that is love. Yat tad bhava bandhanam yuno, that relationship between a boy and a girl, or between anyone, between God and His devotees. Sa prema parikirtitaha. That is love. We used to write in our autograph books, you know, when we were passing out of college, what is love? And I still remember, I wrote, love is eternal. Only when I came to Krishna consciousness did I actually know what is the real purport of what is love. So therefore, the love is dormant between the living entity and the Lord, and when he gets the grace of Guru, then that dormant love again gets manifested and he unites with the Lord. The union takes place through the process of yoga, through the process of chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ram Ram Hare, and the process of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam as it has been so beautifully presented by Srila Prabhupada in his books. So thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai, Gaur Premanande Hari Hari.